the LexisNexis Corporate and Securities Law Community Podcast. Presentations and interviews with leading attorneys and industry professionals. On this edition, Gerald Linz, General Counsel of a major investment management firm, on developments in money market funds. The opinions expressed by guests on LexisNexis Legal Podcasts do not necessarily reflect those of Reed Elsevier Incorporated, LexisNexis, subsidiary companies, shareholders, employees, or customers, and should not be considered legal advice. Gerald Linz is general counsel of a major investment management firm. Previously, he was in charge of legal matters for a number of major asset managers and fund complexes, and also spent several years in private practice, concentrating on general corporate law matters and the regulation of investment companies, investment advisors, and other financial service providers. Prior to that, he was a staff attorney in the Office of Chief Counsel in the SEC's Division of Investment Management. Mr. Linz received his J.D. in 1984 from Harvard Law School. He's co-author of numerous articles and books, including Regulation of Investment Companies, published by LexisNexis Matthew Bender, and is also author of Chapters 83 and 84 of Securities Law Techniques and Chapter 7B of Federal Securities Act of 1933 Treatises, also available from LexisNexis. Here is Gerald Linz.
Thank you. Today I'm going to talk about recent developments in money market funds. Money market funds are a critical component of the financial markets, and over the past several years, there's been a lot of controversy about how they operate and possible future reforms that will help money market funds better serve the investing public. As background, what is a money market fund? In brief, it's a registered mutual fund that holds very short-term liquid debt holdings. It seeks to maintain a stable $1 net asset value, and it operates pursuant to a special rule under the Investment Company Act of 1940, known as Rule 2A7. Money market funds started in the 1970s and were developed so retail investors could earn returns above legally allowed rates on bank deposits. In 1983, the SEC adopted Rule 2A7 to regulate them and permit them to be priced at $1 per share. What kind of holdings does a money market fund hold? These are typically short-term, high-quality in nature, such as treasury bills, certificates of deposit, variable and floating rate notes, commercial paper, repurchase agreements, and euro-dollar deposits. Unlike a normal mutual fund, which is priced at a floating net asset value every day, the pricing of a money market fund is typically at what's called amortized cost, which allows the sponsor and manager of the money market fund to essentially attribute a straight line appreciation to the holdings and thereby maintain $1 net asset value. This makes money market funds very, very useful to investors, institutions, states, corporations, individuals, governments, because it's very similar to bank deposits. Everybody knows exactly how much they have. When the investments held by a money market fund appreciate in value, rather than having the net asset value go up, what happens is investors simply receive fractional shares, each of which is at a dollar. So for example, if a $1 investment appreciates by 10%, it's not priced at $1.10. The investor simply has 1.1 shares at a dollar. This makes money market funds far, far more useful to the investing public. What are the differences between a money market fund and most mutual funds? As I've already mentioned, money market funds have a stable $1 net asset value, not a floating NAV. But in addition, given their highly liquid nature and their role as very similar to bank deposits, they are very restricted in what they can hold to high-quality short-term instruments. In addition, when money market funds are advertised, they quote yield as well as absolute investment return. Who uses money market funds? Typical investors are institutions, municipalities, individuals, pension plans, endowments, insurance companies, and others. The purpose is for these investors in money market funds are often as a short-term cash management vehicle, as well as a sweep vehicle and alternatives to bank checking accounts. Many money market funds permit investors check writing privileges. What has caused some of the recent controversy regarding money market funds? Most notably, in 2008, during the financial market meltdown, many money market funds held short-term paper that defaulted or was downgraded. This threatened the $1 net asset value of many funds. They could have been gone down to 99 or 98 cents in price, which would have been disastrous to many investors and caused a lot of panic. Most money market fund managers, some way or another, provided capital support so that the dollar net asset value was not broken. There were, however, some money market funds that actually had to price down to 99 or 98 cents, and they ultimately more or less went out of business. The concern of the regulators and the administration was that money market funds are so important that if investors are worried about money market funds breaking a dollar, that's a systemic risk to the system. Massive withdrawals of from money market funds could force money market funds to dump their holdings onto the market, driving down prices, drying up credit for companies, and otherwise wreaking havoc on the system and adding to the panic. In light of the 2008 problems, a number of very short-term remedies were put in place, such as treasury programs to insure money market funds and other short-term measures. However, the SEC recognized there was need for more reform. In 2010, the SEC proposed rules, which were adopted in very early 2011. These tightened the credit standards on money market funds, they shortened the maturity, they increased the liquidity requirements, and they imposed stress tests and other monitoring. And finally, they required monthly website postings so that investors could see on a after-the-fact basis what types of portfolio securities were held by their money market funds. However, regulators and the administration realized that these reforms would not in themselves prevent potential future problems. And so the President's Working Group on Financial Markets reviewed money market funds and came out with a report in 2010 outlining other possible additional reforms. Since that time, the SEC, commentators, and others in the industry have been debating a number of potential reforms for money market funds that would improve their safety and decrease the likelihood of future money market funds breaking the dollar or investors needing to massively redeem. These will probably be addressed and some form of them adopted in the next 3 to 6 months by the SEC, and it's almost certain that whatever the SEC comes up with will be fairly controversial to somebody in the industry. Among the proposed reforms that are being debated right now for money market funds, first would be to let money market funds have a floating net asset value. In other words, instead of constantly striving to maintain a dollar, if the value of the money market funds holdings went down, it could go down to 99 or 98, and if it went up, it would go up to $1.01, $1.02, and so forth. Much more similar to a standard mutual fund. This would remove the risk of breaking the buck, so to speak, because there would be no need to maintain a stable net asset value. However, many are concerned that this proposed reform would likely kill money market funds or at least reduce their attractiveness greatly to investors. First off, with no stable $1 net asset value, many of the attractive features of money market funds would be eliminated. As such, investors may well decide not to invest in money market funds, but rather go to other products. In addition, this measure of a floating NAV would not necessarily prevent a run on a money market fund or massive redemptions. If investors were concerned that the value of the holdings of a money market fund were decreasing or weakening, they may nonetheless try to withdraw their money so that they were given cash and more illiquid holdings that were still decreasing in value would stay in the fund. In other words, they would try to get their money out before more damage was done to the holdings. Thirdly, unlike a stable dollar net asset value that's always purchased and sold at a dollar, with meaning there's no gain or loss on an investment or withdrawal, if the net asset value of a money market fund moves, then whenever investors withdrew money, that could be a taxable event. So, for example, if they invested at a dollar and it increased in value to $1.05, they withdrew, they would have a 5-cent gain on their shares. This need to process the tax impact of these transactions as well as to complete the paperwork could make money market funds very, very unappealing to investors. The paperwork and headaches may well outweigh their attractiveness. And finally, money market funds frequently are used in daily sweep arrangements with various other types of investment vehicles. And if they cannot price at $1 per share, that may obviate their operational attractiveness. It may be too difficult to link them up with these other vehicles. A second proposal is a capital buffer, meaning money market funds would assess slight fees on investments in them, in a sense, putting money away for a rainy day so that if they ran into trouble, that money would be available to help maintain a stable net asset value. The problem with this proposal is that currently yields and returns on money market funds are so low that taking any more out to put aside as a buffer for future problems would make them even less attractive and could result in yields being virtually zero. A third possibility is what's called a liquidity fee. This would be a fee that a fund could impose on redemptions at certain times to impede runs or excessive redemptions. Many mutual funds have similar mechanisms when they want to dissuade investors from rapidly investing and withdrawing from the fund because that runs up transaction costs for investors. So, for example, they may have a 2% redemption fee, and that money goes into the fund for the benefit of all holders and is intended to compensate the fund for the transaction costs that are run up and caused by those redeeming. A similar fee could be imposed whereby, for example, investors pulling out of a money market fund might pay 1% of their redemption, which would go into the fund as more or less to compensate for transaction costs and to help the fund maintain a stable net asset value. Again, however, because yields are so low and investors typically view a dollar in a money market fund as a dollar, any liquidity fee essentially changes the dollar redemption into a 99-cent redemption, which may again force investors to look elsewhere to invest their short-term cash. A fourth proposal is a liquidity facility for prime money market funds, and this would be a special purpose bank or trust company. It would be capitalized through initial assessments and commitment fees, and during times of unusual stress, this could buy high-quality securities from prime money market funds at amortized cost value. The purpose of this would then be to help those maintain their stable net asset value. Finally, some have proposed that because money market funds function virtually very similarly to banks, in that people use them almost as bank deposits, they have check writing privileges, they're priced at a dollar, they're basically daily liquidity, they have sweep mechanisms. They look and smell very much like a normal bank checking account. Because of that, some have proposed they should be regulated as some form of bank by the Federal Reserve or other bank regulators. The critics of this proposal point out that money market funds are already very heavily regulated by the SEC under Rule 2A7, and also that bank regulation did not prevent problems with many banks during the market meltdown, so there's no reason to believe that regulation by bank regulators of money market funds would necessarily make them any safer. So those are, in a nutshell, the main proposals being debated right now in the markets about how to continue the reforms of money market funds. Nobody knows exactly which of these or possibly a combination of them will be adopted. It's likely the SEC will adopt one or more of these, and as I noted earlier, they will, no matter what they choose, they will likely be somewhat controversial. However, I don't think the SEC will likely try to change money market funds too much because they've been an overwhelming success and are an integral part of the market for the last 35 years. And I don't think the SEC will do anything that could jeopardize their continuing critical role both for investors and for the financial markets.
Introducing Lexis Advance, a new online legal research service that will transform the way you conduct your research. Our new natural search algorithm and intuitive interface access the LexisNexis services and open web content to deliver comprehensive results faster. Navigate quickly around the site with a new My Workspace carousel and get key insights into relationships between legal issues with Legal Issue Trail. To learn more about Lexis Advance, go to LexisNexis.com/advance or call 800-458-5. Thank you for listening to this LexisNexis Legal Podcast. Visit the LexisNexis communities. Like the communities on Facebook, follow them on Twitter. LexisNexis.com/community. The LexisNexis Corporate and Securities Law Community Podcast, copyright 2012 by LexisNexis, a division of Reed Elsevier Incorporated.